You're listening to CGMQ 88.9 FM, and we have in the studio with us Grandpa Bob, who's going to be talking about a very serious issue. Would you like to introduce the subject, what we'll be talking about today?
We're going to be talking about this particular place in a little village called Saint-Armand, Quebec, which is different people have been trying to have it recognized as an historical site. The place is called Nigger Rock. Apparently, according to lore, there are black slaves that were buried at this rock, and a number of people trying to have it recognized as an historical site.
Okay, so you did say Nigger Rock, and that's something that is going to shock a lot of people when they hear the term. And so I think we should probably put it into context, is that that we're talking in historical terms, and we're talking about the recognition of something that people have lived through, and the name of the rock. How did it get its name, and why should we not be shocked by you saying that?
Well, without having to reveal it, I ended up, just give you a little story, I ended up writing a story about the site to help out the cause. The name of the book that I've written is called Birdie, The Saga of Nigger Rock. And in order to find out why this rock was called that, or at least in the story, you'll have to purchase the book, or at least borrow it from the library and check it out. But on the other hand, you know, like, yes, the N-word is a very pejorative word, just like a lot of other words, but I teach a lot of different young people. I've worked with intellectually handicapped people all my life, and I teach them to empower themselves with those pejorative words that people use on them so that they can have them as their own names, and then the bigots that use those words are going to be defeated without having raised any hand.
Okay, so I guess what I'm trying to get at, though, is what is it all about? Why should we as townshipers know about this, and why should we want to find out more?
Well, you know, the thing is that regardless of color or size or long hair or short hair, there were people. These were people. They were hardworking people. Whether they were free or not free, you know, is another issue. And the whole story there is not about blacks versus whites or French versus English or any other culture. The whole story is about the fact that these were people, hardworking people, you know, with a heart and soul and body, and they were laid to rest there. And I feel, as well as some other people, that they should be recognized. And at some point, they need to rest in peace just like everybody else.
Okay, so at this point, I think also our listeners could be wondering exactly what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is a burial ground for people who lived in slavery here in the Eastern Townships, and that slavery did exist in the Eastern Townships, and there were slaves and there were slave owners, and there was a place where slaves were, after having lived long, no one's claiming that they were murdered or anything like that, but that were laid to rest in an area that became known as Nigger Rock. Is that correct?
Correct. Now, the thing is that a lot of these people, there was a time, even just before the American Civil War, where the British government had declared that in all of their colonies, including in Britain, there were to be no more slaves. So all of the black people that were around that were at one point slaves were definitely set free on paper. But on the other hand, when you consider the fact that they had no education, all they had was a roof over their head, some clothes, a piece of land to grow their own food, vegetables, and so on, you know, and they worked hard for a person, and most of these people were probably very nice people, you know, where would they go? You know, were they really free, you know, even though they were free on paper? And this is the question. They were hardworking people, and because they were black, or some of them were also native, they didn't have a specific spot to be buried in with a little marble stone that had their name and date of birth and so on and so forth. They were just buried wherever there was a spot. And this is what happened to these people here.
Okay, so these are individuals who, even after having gained their freedom, remained enslaved simply due to the circumstances in which they found themselves to be in. And that's understandable if you've spent all your life as a slave and then all of a sudden you're set free. Free to do what? Free to go where? Free to get what kind of employment? You can imagine that during those days and those times, it probably wasn't that easy for someone to just walk out and make a living on their own.
Correct.
Especially if they've never known anything other than enslavement.
Correct. You know, and the whole idea is that, you know, what's important to note is that they were people. You know, just like me and you and everybody else, you know, people. And we tend to forget that, you know, they weren't slaves. you know, first, but they were people first.
Yes, they were people first, people who lived in an environment that we could maybe fool ourselves into thinking that did not happen historically in our region. And I think one of the most shocking parts about it for a lot of people will be that it did exist here in the townships, that there was slavery in the townships. And that's something that we need to come to grips with as a community.
Absolutely. And I would certainly wish to see that people would go to this St. Armand. There's a lot of history there. Recently, I've been there. I visited the Rock several times. You cannot go on the property because it belongs to some people, private people, which is understandable. But you can see it from the public road, which is called Luke Road, named after the original owners, which was Philip Luke and his son Jacob Luke. There's a lot of other history. There's an old schoolhouse there, which was the new one was built in 1831. The oldest one behind there is kind of falling apart, but there's a lot of beautiful history, which includes a lot of the black people. I went to visit a church, which was built in 1819, and there was a gospel revival there just a couple of weekends ago. It was just beautiful. I've also visited, there's a cave there where some of the slaves were hid when the posses would come from the States looking for them. So there's a lot of beautiful history, and if you want to know more, I would encourage you to go there and put in some pressures with the government, especially the local government, to have these places recognized as historical sites.
Now, there's a few things that come up from that, and things have been happening in the past years. At one point, it looked like the government was going to recognize this site as an historical site, as a unique site, as it is in the region, and then that fell apart and it didn't happen. Also, another thing is that the river that runs by that, because we're talking about a rock, but we're talking about a rock that juts out into a river, and the river also bore the name of the rock. Isn't that so?
Well, that's something new. I'm not aware of that, but it's possible. Absolutely. Okay. Because there's a lot of things. I've even seen a sign that said a Negro cemetery. You know, people deny that there were black people in the area. But I saw an old sign that someone had. I even took a picture of it. You know, it says Negro Cemetery. Absolutely, there could be very well all of that stuff for sure.
Now, I don't know if we covered it sufficiently, but as you said, the N-word provokes a lot of animosity in a lot of people, and rightly so. We're using it today in the context that people that I know, that I've discussed this matter with, who were people descended from these people, said that they would be upset if the word wasn't used in context. And the context is that people who were held in slavery were buried in this cemetery. It became known as Nigger Rock, and it bore that name. And to deny that name, they're afraid, would be to deny the history of what happened and how these people lived and how they came to be buried here in the townships. And I just guess it's a matter of us not turning our back on this subject and saying, oh, well, you know, that's a problem that came from another time and another place. It came from another time, but it didn't come from another place. It was here.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, there's an anthropologist. His name is Roland Viau. He works for the University of Montreal. He wrote a book called Sur de Nigger Rock. He wrote it in French. And there's a lot of great information. He can even tell you when people were basically snoring or sleeping. And I would encourage people to look for that book. It's called Sur de Nigger Rock. There's a number of people in the area who are interested in having this thing recognized. I know that the government at one point, like you said, there was a plaque that was made, but it was hidden somewhere in the town hall, and nobody knows where it is. Now, Hank Avery, who started all of this, a very nice fellow, he's a retired teacher now. Well, all he wanted was a cross on the rock and a plaque on the main road, on the public road, so that people could at least see it. And it would not be disturbing the people that own the land whatsoever at all. But even that, up to now, was denied by the governments.
Well, Hank Avery is, as you say, a very nice man. I've spoken to him quite often about this subject. It's something that we spoke about a couple of years back, and something that I felt very strongly about. At the time, there was some question of people being worried about the land being expropriated by the government to be made into an historical site, and that would be upsetting to the people who own the land. Of course, other people are saying, well, it is an historical site, and whether it's upsetting or not, history has to be respected, and so something has to be done. Seems like the government has come firmly down on the side of the middle of where they do nothing, neither. They don't recognize it, nor do they not recognize it. So, and this is not just one government. We've gone through a few governments now that have decided to come firmly down the middle of the road and do nothing.
Correct. You know, the thing is that the government is sitting on the fence. But now, you know, the only way to do it is public opinion and public pressure. With the book, you know, and you can get the book, as a matter of fact, it's just the beginning. And like Hank says, there are many stories. Now, the book is called Birdie, the Saga of Nigger Rock. You can get it either through Townshippers or at the Bishop's University bookstore.
And I would encourage you to get it from the Bishop's University bookstore. That's where we got our copy, and I intend to pick up another. So I'm just putting in a plug in there for you. Sorry.
Good. That's good. That's good. You know, and also there, you know, for people who don't live this close, there's the Knowlton bookstore and the one in Sutton. But just to say, the next thing that we're going to do, and just to let you know, the reason for the story was I saw this poster that Hank and some of the people had made concerning Nigger Rock, and it really hit me real hard, and that inspired me to write the story. And the poster is still out there, and it exists. Now, the thing is that the next books that we're going to be putting out on the market after we sell the ones that we have now, I've decided that we're going to design a postcard which is going to be sent to the Minister of Culture in Ottawa, no postage required, you know, to put some pressure on him or her. You know, changes quite often, as a matter of fact, with this government, you know, so that maybe something will be done. And I think that the government should do something, whatever is fair. I understand it's the Benoits, they own the land, and it's their land, they can do what they want. But if we want to be fair, I think the government should compromise with them, maybe, and do something, whatever is fair, whether they have to offer the money or however they do it. They shouldn't take the land away from them, absolutely not. But something that both sides can come to terms with. And the thing that's most important, that these people that are buried there, regardless of their color, okay, need to rest in peace.
Be recognized is part of resting in peace and a very big part of it. Also, justice delayed is justice denied in my book, and this has been going on a very long time. You said that you saw a poster that had such an impact on you that you couldn't put it out of your mind. If you could describe why?
Absolutely. This poster here was a painting, basically. What it had, it was what I assumed was Philip Luke on his horse in the background. It was a bunch of black people that were pulling out stumps out of the ground. And on the foreground, there was a lady, a black lady with a kerchief around her head. And she had sort of like a very tired and serious look about herself. And it really described the scene. Now, what you have to understand, I had no idea. They were creating potash, and I had no idea what potash was. But what it is you cut a certain kind of trees, you got to burn them, you got to collect the white ash, you got to do something with water in it. It's a whole process. And then they had to get rid of the stumps. I mean, these people worked, our expression is you work like a slave. You know, they actually did. You know, they worked real hard for the little bit of a recognition that they got, which was, you know, some food that they grew themselves, clothes, and a roof over their head. And, you know, to me, I don't think that that's freedom. And today, you know, I could still hear the spirits, you know, saying, when is it that we will ever be free?
So we're talking about human beings pulling stumps out of the ground, working at the sweat of their brow just for the food that keeps them alive and a little bit of a roof over their head. And we're not talking about the south of Georgia. We're talking about the eastern townships right here in the township Saint-Amand, right here within the townships where there were slaves and there were slave owners. So it's a very important subject. It's a book that I encourage everyone to come to the Bishop's University bookstore and pick up a copy and find out. Because if history isn't respected, then how can we expect anything we do today to be worthwhile? Because 100 years from now, what difference will it make? So that's why history is so important, and that's why it's so important that we recognize this fact. That, and when we hear about slavery in the south of the United States and how deplorable it was and what terrible things, well, also it existed here. I think, and I'm not certain, you can correct me on this, or perhaps not, depends, that how slavery came to the region was when the United Empire Loyalists came up from the United States. Many of them were slave owners, brought their slaves with them, and so brought slavery into the townships. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. Philip Luke came up, and he had inherited some slaves, and then later on, those slaves were inherited by his son Jacob. And even though, like, during that whole period, they did become free on paper because the king had declared that there were to be no more slaves in the British colonies and in Britain. You know, like I said before, all they had no education, no place to go, you know, so they were basically stuck to the land. But what's important is that not only are they not free, but as long as we don't admit and we don't do something about this whole thing, we can never be free, neither, none of us, you know. And there's an expression that says the truth will set us free. And I think that we have to put out the truth. We've got to do justice. We've got to have these people be recognized. And then not only they, but we, all of us, can be free.
In which way does it imprison us to not acknowledge this?
Well, the fact of the matter is it's a burden that we've inherited through our ancestors. And, you know, no matter how often we deny it, it will still be there unless we do something about it. You know, I know those were the times and we can't change what happened then. We've got to just acknowledge it and say, you know, it was bad. You know, we're not going to repeat the same thing. And, you know, when we meet a person on the street, regardless of his color, creed, what he wears on his head, long hair, short hair, you know, we could smile and say hello, good day, you know, and lend him a helping hand if we have to.
In order to be able to look someone straight in the eye and say, I did the best I could to make right what I know what's wrong.
Correct.
Okay. You know. That makes a lot of sense to me. And I, as you mentioned, Hank Avery has been working very long and hard at this. I know a lot of other people have as well. It's Saint-Amand right here in the Eastern Townships of Quebec. And the book, could you give us the title of the book again,
please?
Okay,
the book is called Birdie, okay, The Saga of Nigger Rock. And throughout the whole book and some of the posters we put, please help us make Birdie proud. Read the book. And, you know, it's not about selling books. It's not about making money with the books. What the issue is getting this place recognized as an historical site. If we can do that, then nothing else matters.
And the book is available at the Bishop's University bookstore or at the bookstore in Knowlton. So there you go. You're listening to CGMQ 88.9 FM. We hope to have more updates on this story and to keep following it as it hopefully progresses, and also to be inviting government officials to listen to this interview and others that we'll be doing in the future. And we would be more than happy to help with a drive to send some letters into the government to help to make them realize just how important this is to us as a community. And I thank you very much for being with us today here on CJMQ and for helping to educate us on this very important and sad, but also very encouraging story, because the encouragement comes from the fact that we can do something to help make at least set right the present day perceptions that we have of ourselves and our history and our community.
Absolutely. And you know what? It doesn't cost a hell of a lot of money just to go there or just to pressure the government, you know, and please do help make Birdie proud. And I think that all of us will sleep better in the years to come.
Now, you've mentioned Birdie a few times. I don't recall if during the interview we actually stated who Birdie was.
Well, you'll have to read the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get you now.
No, because otherwise, if you don't read the book, then you don't get the feel for it. But, you know, Birdie is who she was, a person.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Okay. A really beautiful person.
Okay.
And read the book, and then you'll really get the feel. As a matter of fact, through the publisher, I'm working on a sequel to the book, which is kind of interesting to me, too, because I want to discover Birdie, too. And I want to find out, you know, what was really inside of her. I don't want to know Birdie as to whether she was black or white or green or red or a native or whatnot. I want to know her as the person that she was, and I'd want everybody to know her as the person that she was. And I think by recognizing her and the people that she sort of hung around with and whatnot in those days, I think it'll make things better.
Well, I certainly applaud your effort and the cause. It's one that's been very near to me for several years now that I've been wanting to bring this to the airwaves. And so now that we've started, let's keep it going. So CGMQ 88.9 FM.